Okay.
You have 11 council members, Glenn?
Yes, that's right, Louis.
Okay. And,
Okay.
Yes, there are 11, Louis.
And there's more to the calculation than that because we have to figure out on votes. We've got Tompkin, Stubbs, Newman, Keller. Yeah, so we also have a quorum.
Yeah, I think you're fine. If you've got at least 11, you'll automatically have quorum in terms of votes.
And I've got apologies from Gabriel Pinero, who can't be on the call, but he's online if we need anything from him. There are apologies from Alex Shankman, and Jeff Newman cannot stay on the call for a long time.
Okay. Jeff, how long can you stay on the call for?
I'm in a judge's chambers for jury duty, so if he comes in, I might be on the whole time. I don't know.
Okay, well, I guess we can't predict that. Well, let's try and get through the procedural part of the agenda fairly quickly. In terms of the minutes of the last meeting, do I have a proposer to accept those?
Yeah, that's Ken Stubbs. I'll go ahead and propose it.
Okay, seconder for that?
Yes, I second.
Okay, Florence. Okay, all those in favour of accepting the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Any against?
Hi, this is Audrey McFuzzo from Canada and the GAC.
Okay, thanks, Audrey. We're just accepting the minutes from the last meeting.
Sure.
So I was just calling for any against. I didn't hear any against. Any abstentions? Okay, I declare the minutes of the last meeting passed. The next issue is to ratify the email vote on the ICANN board seat, number 13. Glenn, do you want to just summarise the outcome of that vote?
22 voted in favour of Alejandro. There was one person who abstained from the vote, and there was one person against the vote. So that makes a 24 in all, and there is a majority. I resent the code.
Okay. I think that probably the easiest thing, everyone should have seen their codes emailed to them and be able to check to see whether their vote was correctly recorded. What I'd like to do here, I guess this is important, so I'd like to just run through those on the call to ratify the vote and accept that the vote was correctly recorded. So I'll just go through the list of people I have on the call. And if you could just say whether you're for or against ratifying the motion. So first I think I had Kerry Carp. In favour. Okay. Grant Forsyth?
In favour.
Okay. Ken Stubbs?
In favour.
Favour. Laurence?
Yes, I'm in favour.
Marilyn Cade?
Yes.
Okay. In favour. Milton Mueller?
In favour.
Okay. Jeff Newman?
In favour.
Okay, is Tom Keller on the call?
Yeah, I'm in favour as well.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, who do we not have on the call? Laurence?
I'm in favour.
You're in favour.
You already did.
Yep.
Tony Hall.
And is any... Tony Holmes?
In favour.
In favour.
Yeah, Bruce, it's Jordan Buchanan. I just joined the call, and I'm also in favor.
Okay. Thank you, Jordan. Okay, is Greg Ruth on the call? Doesn't sound like it. And does anyone hold any proxies?
This is Linda Resch. I'm in favor, but you had not called my name.
Okay, sorry, Linda.
Laurent, has got a proxy for Ellen Schenk.
Yes, and Ellen would be in favor, yeah.
And I have got a message from Gabriel to say that he confirms his vote, so he would be in.
Okay. Is Gabriel giving a proxy to anybody, Glenn?
He tried to give a proxy to Tony Harris, but I see Tony Harris is not on the call.
Okay. And Chan, is he on the call or giving a proxy to anybody?
No news from him.
Well, we'll record the ratification given those
Philip
votes
Shepherd,
received.
Philip Shepherd, is he on the call?
Sorry, go ahead, Glenn.
Sorry, Philip Shepherd, is he on the call?
Okay, well, I'll declare the ratification passed. I have... a majority of votes in favour. I'll record the exact numbers of whether they're voting for two votes or one vote once I've sorted out the minute, but I've got a list of everybody who's ratified that motion. The next issue is regarding the process for electing the GNSO Council Chair. Since I am the GNSO Council Chair, I should probably not chair this particular discussion. I was planning to hand over the discussion to the previous Chair, which is Philip Shepherd, but since Philip's not available, perhaps the Chair before that, which I think is Ken Stubbs.
Yeah, I'd be happy to review this with the Council.
Okay. Well, I hand the chair to you, Ken, for this discussion item.
Okay. I think we're all aware of the fact that Bruce's term is expiring, and that we need to get somebody elected. I apologize. I'm sitting here working off my laptop, so I don't have the exact process timeline, but I'm assuming that we would have to open up a nominating period here unless the council elects to waive the nominating period for election for a council chair. I guess for all intents and purposes, we have discussed the term. Bruce has expressed his desire to make sure that the term upcoming for the GNSO Council Chair is consistent with the terms of all of the members of the council. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Lewis, but I believe that all of the council members, with the exception of the three new members, appointees from the non-com, our terms will expire at the end of the final ICANN meeting of the year. Is that right, Louis?
That is right, and indeed some of the non-com appointments. No, you're right. That's right.
Okay, so I guess what I'd like to do is open it up for discussion, see if there's any thoughts anyone has, and see how people feel about this process, whether or not there's a necessity for a period for nominations, and let's set a timeline, try to get this done in the next 2 weeks if we can. Any thoughts?
I have a question. Marilyn?
Yes, please, Marilyn.
I believe I need to be clear on what the term is that we are voting for, and whether the person who takes that term can then succeed themselves.
I didn't hear the last few words. You kind of trailed off. And whether the term, what, Marilyn?
And whether the person who takes, so we're going to have an election for a specified period of time.
Right.
My question is, can the person who wins that term be nominated and elected to a next term?
Go ahead, Louis.
That sounds like a question for me. Article 10, Section 3, Paragraph 7 of the bylaws says that the GNSO Council shall select the GNSO Chair for a term the GNSO Council specifies, but not longer than 1 year, by written ballot or by action at a meeting, and it must have affirmative votes of a majority of the votes of all members. There is no limitation on succession in the bylaws. You have rules of procedure of the council that were inherited largely from the Names Council. In December, a document was issued saying they would apply except to the extent inconsistent with the bylaws, the new bylaws. There is in those a provision that the terms will be two terms of 6 months. Terms of 6 months, you can succeed yourself only once, as I recall. Is that right, Glenn?
That's right, Louis, yes.
So what I think is on the agenda right now is decision about what rules and what term the council would like to apply under the new bylaws, which, of course, can be you can vote on what term you would like. There's no restriction on succession in the new bylaws. And you can select any term of up to 1 year length. Just one other factor you might want to consider in thinking about the problem is that the new bylaws provide for, in general, council seats to run until the end of the annual meeting.
So this, let me just ask a clarification. So this is a modification to previous council rules?
The previous council rules, right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Also occasioned by the fact that your current chair is, I believe, slightly in overtime, if you will. Is that right, Bruce?
That is correct. I was elected in September of 2002.
Okay. There is one issue I'd like to bring up, and I think it's just a little advanced planning type issue. I'm a little concerned about the fact that come the expiration of the annual meeting or the last meeting of the year, we end up with a council that virtually has nobody populating it to move forward. I think that we should probably make arrangements at the annual meeting or at the meeting in Carthage to have some sort of a transition period and kind of give the council the opportunity prior to them seating for them to, the new council, for them to elect a chair and give that person the opportunity to spend some time with Glenn, so we can get a smooth transition. If not, the first couple meetings after the annual meeting could be a mess. So just please, let's think about that. How do we feel about a nominating period here now? Do we want to have a relatively short
meeting? Well, I think we still need to, if I could comment,
Ken,
Bruce Tonkin, I think we still need to be clear on what period we're electing for. And it's complicated by the fact that the rules of procedure for the GNSO going forward have yet to be approved. So we've got some draft rules that Glenn has put together, and we need to be looking at those. And we have the ICANN bylaws, and we have the previous Names Council procedures, which had a six-month term followed by a second six-month term.
Well,
note to the council list basically gave three options. The first option is that we can elect someone for 6 months. We can elect somebody to the end of our current terms, which is at the end of the ICANN general meeting this year, or if we use the new ICANN bylaws, we could potentially elect somebody for a total of 1 year. So those are the three options. I think we first need to get comments from the council on what of those three they would prefer.
It's Philip here. I'd like to speak in time.
Go ahead, Philip. You're number one on the queue.
Apologies for lateness. I have your crises in Brussels today. I think the question, to some extent, is one of perhaps sort of continuity versus anything else, really. And I think, it, to my mind, the option two, I think it is, which specifies until the end of the ICANN general meeting, makes a certain sense, because that's sort of setting ourselves up in terms of alignment with where the bylaws are going to be, and would allow an incoming council to then reselect its chairman, which also seems quite sensible. And we just have to be careful about transition arrangements then. An option to go for a year now means that we're sort of electing a chairman who may longer be around after those reselection times. I'm not quite sure if that particularly helps us.
Okay. I'm going to ask a favor if you all don't mind. I think you can tell by my voice. I've got an upper respiratory infection, and we had a lightning strike, so I'm operating off of a laptop. Now that Philip's on the call, Bruce, with your permission, I'd like to let him go ahead and moderate. It's very difficult for me to talk, and I'd just rather...
That's fine by me, Ken.
Philip, if you don't mind stepping in and taking over the discussion, I'd appreciate it.
So, is anybody else who wants to talk on this topic in terms of the options before us? I'm hearing silence. It would be helpful to know where we stood on some of the options, and we haven't really had any discussion on that. I've been on the line for about 5 minutes, but I wasn't aware of anything to tell me if there's anything before that. Let's do this by process of elimination. Is there anybody who thinks that the idea of electing a chair for 6 months is a good idea? Please speak now. Okay.
Actually, Philip, it's Marilyn.
Yeah.
My concern is more the point that you raised. I am a proponent of... making sure that we are aligned with the bylaws so we don't have to go back and continue revising our procedures. And as I understood the explanation, since the term of the council members now all expire at the annual meeting, meaning they have to be reelected by their constituency or someone has to be elected by their constituency, that seems to me to create an interim challenge to us as a council. Adjust to that. And one of the options that I thought I heard was the option of electing a chair to fill the rest of the term until all terms of council members lapse at that time.
Yes, Marilyn, this is Louis. I believe in Bruce's memo he presented three options and stated his preference for that option.
Exactly, and that is option three, I think.
Yes.
Which means that, option three strikes me as having the greatest logic in that we elect a chair until the expiry of all our terms of office, and then we have another election following that. Now, it may be that, as in usual procedures, the first meeting following that, if the current chairman is re-elected, you would probably ask him to chair that meeting in a temporary capacity while an election takes place. But I think that's probably all that's necessary. Are there other thoughts? Are there those who feel that the attempt at continuity of the one-year term of office is a preferred route? I know there was some earlier comment about that on the list, but that may be now what we understand is better. Those opinions are changing. But anybody else speak on a longer term of office than that going forward to the annual meeting?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm hearing silence. So I would propose then that we would adopt the option three put forward to us, which was we go forward to elect a chair until the conclusion of the ICANN annual meeting in 2003. And therefore, I presume we should have a nomination period in order to do that. I think we've seen already some informal nominations. Is that right, Glenn? They were just informal at that stage.
Yes, they were informal.
Right. Okay.
To make clear, what at least I understand from the conversation is, with this, the term that you proposed, there would not be any council desire to impose a restriction on succession of the person elected now into the next term, if that was the new council's choice.
Right. Thank you for that clarification. I think that's probably what we're saying, and if somebody wants to speak to that point.
The only comment I want to make was I think your proposal is a good one, Philip, and I think we should formalize it, go ahead and get a council vote on it while we have a quorum here, and open up the nominating period. With respect to imposing a succession, I think Louis's comment is probably well taken, because what we would be doing would be imposing some sort of guideline on the new council, and I think they should be given the opportunity to analyze that. We've got kind of a whole new thing going in starting in November, so I think they should probably determine their feelings on that. And that's a procedural thing and not a bylaw requirement, so the council could modify that if I'm correct, Louis. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm going to second your proposal, and hopefully we can get you to call for the question there.
Thanks very much. So I do call for the question. So the proposal is to follow the guidance of option three put forward in an early email by Bruce in terms of electing a chair until the conclusion of the ICANN annual meeting in 2003, nominations to open immediately for a period of 2 weeks. And let me ask for the votes on that. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Thank you. Anyone against? Please say no. Abstentions? Please say abstain.
Bruce Tonkin abstains.
Okay. That's Bruce abstaining. For the record, thank you very much. That motion is indeed carried. And Glenn, if you could do the necessary to act on that, we're very grateful. And I'll be happy to hand back to Bruce as the chair now.
Okay. Thank you, Philip. The next topic is on the report on the structure of the new GTLD space, and I must confess I've been out of email contact for the last 24 hours, and my very quick scan is there's obviously been some correspondence on this topic. I, as Bruce Tonkin, representing the registrars, made some comments to the list, and I apologise, they were quite late, and there's been some follow-on contact to that. But I think I'll hand over to the chair of that GTLD committee to perhaps report on the current status.
Yeah, Bruce, thanks very much. About 2 weeks ago, the committee had had its last meeting, and immediately following that, I circulated a proposed draft final report from the committee, and after comments for that for about a week, and then we would have any final version. Some comments did come in, unfortunately, a little bit late, so again, that's why I think we're running at some last-minute changes to that. But one of the substantial comments that had been raised, and I think probably rightly so, was the distinction in terms of what the committee's job had been and how that related to the formal policy development process we now have as council. And following on those discussions, following on some of the suggestions and edits made by Bruce Tonkin in his role for the registrars, I circulated just yesterday a compromise text in which, as chairman of this committee, I was happy to make very clear that the idea of circumventing a PDP was not at all the intent, and indeed to split the conclusions of the report effectively into two clear conclusions. Deleting some of the earlier text that had caused some comment on the on the list. And essentially what our report says now and is structured is the following. We have a primary conclusion which says that expansion of the namespace should be a bottom-up approach with names proposed by the interested parties to ICANN. Expansion should be demand-driven. There's no support for a predetermined list of new names that putative registries would bid for. And that's followed immediately by a second conclusion, which goes on to say that in line with ideas set out in the Lynn paper, the committee endorsed the concept of a set of objective criteria that should be met in any future expansion. The development of this set of objective criteria should be the subject of a new policy development process. And then it goes on to say possible criteria of this PDP are listed below, together with strategies which point towards practical, non-burdensome ways in which they can be met. And then the list you saw in earlier versions, the 6 points in terms of the criteria, a couple then on IDNs, and some comment on strategies in which one paragraph about determining demand has now been deleted from the version previously circulated has been done. And that is the report before council at the moment. So as you can see, the structure has changed to make it clear that what we think is some of the objective criteria that came out of that go beyond, like which demonstrate the committee's thinkings over the time it's been asking the relatively simple question asked of it by the board, should go forward as part of a new policy development process, and that would, following an initial report on that, I think probably put those criteria into a way that then can be properly addressed by PDP. So that's where the process is at the moment. Philip, I'll hand back to you.
Okay, I think it's probably appropriate then to get some discussion on those points. Who'd like to join the queue for discussion?
I'll join. This is Milton.
Milton. Anyone else?
Jordan Buchanan.
Jordan. Anyone else?
Marilyn.
Marilyn. Okay. I was about to add your name, but thank you for adding that. Anyone else?
Sure, Wendy.
Sorry, who was that?
Wendy.
Wendy, thank you, Wendy. Anyone else?
Yes, Jeff.
Jeff Newman. Okay, anyone else?
Maybe Laurence, yeah.
Thank you, Laurence. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Milton.
Okay. Trying to pull up your report, Bruce. And just hold on a second. Well, I think we've made progress, and we've moved closer to something that's acceptable to me, both in Bruce's draft and in Philip's draft. I think that there are still elements of both that I think we have to change. The point I made on the list, and I want to reiterate it now, is that this paragraph about the meaning of structure, I think, has to go. As I said, if we didn't know what the question meant when we started to answer it, we should have clarified that before we developed the report. But I think we do know what structure meant. It does, in fact, in the context of the discussion that was held, it does mean taxonomic rationalization. That's what the board was asking us about. They did not, by structure, mean any kind of framework of objectives. That's not what the community involved in this debate is discussing. So we don't really need that paragraph. There's a couple of other sentences that are red flags to me. One of them is this idea that we all have a vision of how the GTLD namespace should look. I just don't think that's true. The other one is this statement, there's not support for anarchy. Now, some people may believe that I do support anarchy, and maybe that's true, at least relative to some of the things happening within ICANN. But The bizarre thing about that statement to me is that it follows a statement that there should be a bottom-up approach with names proposed by interested parties. There's no support for a predetermined list. Expansion should be demand-driven. And then this is followed by this. This is not to say there's support for anarchy. So the implication of this sentence is that a demand-driven namespace is anarchy, which I think is just bizarre. So I would appreciate it if whichever draft we are working from here, whether Phillips or Bruce's, that we strike those particular items of language. And then in terms of the specific list, I did prefer Bruce's lists to the one in Phillips' draft. I just think it's shorter and clearer in terms of what we're proposing. That's all.
Yeah, if I could just comment, Milton, I think, and just to respond to Phillips' comments to me, one of the things, I guess, is to separate objectives of opening the namespace. So the objectives of opening the namespace could be to increase competition, to increase the utility of the DNS, et cetera, from the actual criteria that an individual applicant would need to apply. Like an individual applicant on its own is not responsible for competition. They're just putting up a proposal. So just to explain my context was to separate something that might be overall criteria, overall objectives, you know, increased competition, better differentiation, new DNS services, from criteria, which means that if you're going to put up a name, it shouldn't be confusing to a name that already exists. So just wanted to make that distinction between objectives and criteria. Perhaps go on to Jordan for his comments.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to return to a point that I made on the list, actually, some time ago.
Tony Harris joining.
Shortly after our first meeting, I believe, which is, if you look back to Stewart's paper, which I think pretty clearly is the genesis of the board's request to the council for comment on this structured versus unstructured idea, the basically the last paragraph of his paper prior to his recommendation that the board seek input is that it is something that indicates that the idea of taxonomy and the idea of structure versus unstructured is, quote, a prerequisite to defining selection criteria as opposed to part and parcel of creating selection criteria. And yet somehow I think in the exercise of determining, you know, whether or not we should have structure, we have managed to create a set of selection criteria, which I think in Stewart's paper and by extension, hopefully the intent of the board's request, that we've somehow ended up with a paper that spends, I think, the majority of its time talking about selection criteria, which was supposed to be a separate and distinct issue from that which we were addressing. So, you know, I think mostly I think, you know, we have made a lot of progress, but I'm still a little concerned that the direction of the end result seems to be pointed in a direction that the board did not ask us to head in.
Okay, Marilyn.
Well, I guess some of us are going to continue to have a different understanding of the board ask. That must be because we're human beings. I guess my comment really, I wanted to just, and it follows on to a comment that I made to council electronically. There are a number of processes underway that affect the introduction of new GTLDs. I guess I became concerned as I saw the exchange of traffic that council was becoming significantly self-centric. And there were very few contributions. I did see clarification that the purpose of the intent of the ALAC was to have contribution submitted on both the ICANN open comment process on these as well as to this committee. But I noticed very, very...
Marilyn, you're very hard to understand.
But so unlike me. Because you can't hear me?
Yes, acoustically.
I said I became very concerned that council has become very self-centric, and we're focused in on this report, and I'm not sure that we are taking into account how this fits into the larger set of work that is underway about the introduction of new GTLDs. I think that the report with some clarifying statements that make it clear that we have all always understood this is not policy making, but responding to a question. And with some editing changes, probably coming partly from Bruce, perhaps, and partly from Philip's changes, that just capture the diversity of opinion can be made, and then the report should be put forward. I think it's really important that council spend some time talking about the broader set of activities related to the introduction of new GTLDs, and I hope we will get to that and not just be so centric on this particular activity that we miss those other activities, including the evaluation of the existing GTLDs and the criteria for the introduction of new GTLDs.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn. Wendy?
Thank you. And yes, thank you, Marilyn. We did intend for our comments to be included in the other proceedings as well, and I hope that they have now gotten over there. On this process, my primary comments have already gone out on the list, but we too support the separation of answering the question in this fairly simple manner that future expansion should be demand-driven and bottom-up, and then listing the example, the sample proposed criteria, the summary of discussion, the elements separately. And so my only addition there would be first to support the notion that some of these objectives apply to the process as a whole and not to individual domain names. For example, I think it doesn't even make sense to say that future names individually should add value to the domain name system, but simply that the addition of future names overall adds value. And finally, in the capturing a diversity of viewpoints, we would again stress from the ALAC the distinction between substitutability and confusing similarity, the fact that two names serve the same purpose, perhaps even serve the same market, doesn't make them necessarily confusingly similar, and they might be better from the point of view of competition rather than necessarily worse because they don't do anything different. What they do different is offer competition with the name that's already there, and that can be valuable to the internet user. So that competition principle would be one that we would want to see added, highlighted a bit more. Thanks.
So, sorry, just this is Bruce talking, so I understand, Wendy, you're wanting the competition to be highlighted more in the report, is that what you're saying?
Yes. We had proposed specifically in the discussion of differentiation, where I just go back to look. I think already that there's been a suggestion to strike the comments on differentiation, which we would support. If some of those comments are left in, we would suggest adding that competition in itself can be a means of differentiation. I believe we've put some more specific language onto the list itself.
Okay. Jeff Newman?
Yeah, I think most of the comments have been made. I think Jordan made most of the comments I was going to make. I just had a question actually more for Wendy. You said more of an emphasis should be placed on competition in the report, but I thought your initial comment was that the report shouldn't have all of these details in it. Are you just saying if the report has these details, then more of an emphasis on competition, or is your first preference that the report doesn't contain all of these details?
My first preference would be that the report stay minimal, and I think we would clearly support the separation of a minimal response to the question as asked. If there's a second piece to the report on the proposed objective criteria or example criteria, we would just suggest that those reflect the diversity of the participants and not claim to indicate consensus, which I don't think there has been on many of them. And there, one of the principles that ALAC feels is important is that of competition among names potentially serving similar or the same markets.
Okay.
Bruce, can I get back in queue at the end, please,
as
Marilyn?
And, Bruce, this is Louie. Sure. Could I get in queue, and since Marilyn wants to end, I can go before her.
Can I? The only other thing
I got, Jeff, could continue. Yep.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted clarification on that. But I think it's really important that we make it known to the board that the only thing that has, I hate to call it consensus because it is a consensus to the council anyway, is that one paragraph that everyone's been talking about the domain bottom-up approach, demand-driven. The others, while useful, I think it really needs to be made clear to the board that these are just topics that were discussed and that these need to go through a separate process. And I think Bruce's email did that. I'm sorry, I have not had a chance to read Phillips because of the lateness, but I just want that be clear to the board when we provide these instructions. Thanks.
Just let me respond quickly to that very point. That's exactly what the compromise text does. I take that structure that Bruce had put in his suggested amendments.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification, Philip. Laurence?
Yes. Well, I think it's always difficult to find a balance between the different positions of the constituencies, but I personally believe that Philippe made a good work because he tried to find compromises, and it was not easy. It's still not easy. The report must reflect the different opinions, must capture the diversity of opinions. Regarding the IPC, I think it's, for us, it's very important, as you know, that a number of criteria are taken into consideration before for any expansion. However, I believe that the text recently, I think it was yesterday, proposed by Philippe, provides a good balance.
Sorry, which text was that, Laurence?
I mean, the last modifications made by Philippe.
That's the text which is called Draft Final Report V5 Compromise Text at the very top of the report.
Okay, thanks, Philip. Louis, you wanted to speak.
Yes, just I thought I might make some remarks about questions and answers, which I think is part of the problem confronting the council here, is a divergence of opinion on the council as to what question exactly the board was asking, probably centering around what the board meant by the word structured. And I think is often the case when one starts discussing a question that may have seemed perfectly clear at the beginning, some shadings of meaning emerge. And for example, in looking over the draft report that Philip has prepared, for example, and has posted on the website, you could interpret structure meaning, you know, a preordained structure in the nature of a taxonomy that is to be filled in. You could interpret the question about structure merely to mean, should consideration be given to what else is in the DNS in making decisions about how it should be extended? You know, even the question that the council states in the paragraph that people are saying is clear, I wonder whether it's really meant to be clear in the literal sense. That is, it seems to be saying that all additions should be market-driven, and yet we have in the ICANN policy development process, just speaking generally now, a proposal that was made some time ago for creation of a particular top-level domain to be a place potentially to house country domains as a means of addressing particular wishes of certain governments. That, at least as I recall, there was some receptivity for the council about that at some point. So, if the meaning, if the statement about the council's opinion is really intended to say that there should never be a circumstance in which a need might be identified before an operator comes forward, you know, perhaps that's not exactly what the council sentiment has been before. And finally, just addressing the question of council sentiment, and not to make this too extended a process of coming out with this recommendation, but in terms of, although the GNSO is new in December, it was widely recognized as a successor to the DNSO Names Council, and I wonder whether in the process consideration was given to the principles that were stated on April 19th, 2000 by the Names Council respecting new TLDs, which vaguely touched on this, not exactly this question, but maybe relevant.
Could I get in the queue? This is Milton.
Okay, just before I go further down the queue, if I could just ask Philip, did you take into account principles from April 2000 in the committee deliberations?
I had done some previous reading based on the work of Working Group C and discussions that took place there, and indeed also on B relating to names. I'm not sure if they also were the same principles as the one that Louis has just referred to.
Louis, could we ask Louis to, because I think it would be important actually for the entire council to take into account, not just the chair. could we ask Louis to either say more or point us to where we find them?
Well, I will send you a link to the list, and then I'll talk a little bit to it. Hold on.
Yeah, thanks for that, Marilyn, because I must admit it predates my history, so I don't have recollection, and I was really asking Philip whether it had been discussed in the committee rather than whether Philip personally knew about them.
Sure.
Well, I do recollect it. That's why I'm back in the queue.
Go ahead. I'll just send the link.
Yeah, go ahead, Milton.
Yes, it was made clear at the time of the original edition of top-level domains that this was a, quote, proof of concept. You remember those famous words? Proof of concept. It was an experiment. We had no regular objective or even understanding of whether we were going to add TLDs at the time. And the initial round was deliberately determined to be something that was an experiment. Now, I was certainly among the people at the time who viewed the idea that adding TLDs was an experiment, a step into the unknown, a completely false and ludicrous kind of a policy, but that was the policy. So I don't see anything that happened in April 2000 as being very something that can guide what we do here. I think what's happened in the intervening 2 years is that people have realized that adding top-level domains is not an experiment. It's something that's been happening since 1984, that it does not destabilize the root. And now the board is asking for guidance as to how to go about it more regularly and systematically. And I think the issue of structure, certainly the context was set by Lynn's proposal about taxonomy. Now, sure, the concept of structure could be developed in a variety of different directions, and we did not specifically address the issue of whether there would ever be somebody who says, we need a name to do this, there's no operator yet, why don't we solicit them? But I think, as Jordan's comments, I think, made it clear, we have to know the basic direction we're going with the structure of the namespace. If indeed it is a bottom-up, demand-driven process, then you have a completely different set of procedures that you put into place than if it's a top-down taxonomic process. If it's a taxonomy, you start with a taxonomy. You spend 2 or 3 years working out what the taxonomy is. And remember, I'm talking here from a school of information sciences where we create taxonomies all the time. And then you ask for operators. I think we're giving the board very important and very basic guidance here. We're saying, no, we don't want a taxonomy. We want it to be bottom-up, market-driven, demand-driven. And that's all we need to do. I think the next step is indeed the policy development process.
Bruce, I'm sorry. Did you forget I was in the
queue? Yes, you're still in the queue. I put Milton in merely because he was responding to Louis' comment about the fact that there were some ground rules in April 2000, but you are still in the queue and you are next.
I would like to see what was referred to in April 19th of 2000, but I'm actually going to go back to the comment I made earlier. I guess maybe Milton and I will disagree on this particular point. We agreed to an evaluation of the new GTLDs because we did think there would be lessons to be learned, and that evaluation, a committee was put together that included some technical experts and legal experts. Questions were developed and posed and posted for public comment, and that evaluation is now underway, and as I understand it, will be completed fairly shortly in the next few months. I think that this council can't overlook past decisions, and if we feel we need to revisit them, then we would have to, taking into account the past decision, actually evaluate any shift or change away from an existing policy. Policy didn't die because we morphed DNSO to GNSO. So what I would prefer to do is put forward the report with a focus on the short statement we've all been talking about as the conclusion and a attachment which summarizes, really just attaching the rest of the work and noting that it was, these were some of the concepts which were discussed and that any further development would, of course, be the subject of new PDP processes, and try to figure out how we then go on with work.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. I guess from my perspective here, and I'll speak here now as chair, just in terms of the process and where we can go from here, I think there seems to be fairly clear consensus around the actual resolution, which in simple form is a direct response to the question that instead of choosing a taxonomy of names, that we choose a demand-driven system, part one, and part two, that the actual criteria used to select applicants in this demand-driven system, be objective and be subject to a policy development process. It seems to me that those 2 points, there's consensus. Then the issue is, what do we, if we could pass a motion to that effect, and that would be, you know, a couple of lines. Then we have a report that actually encompasses quite a bit of work that's been going on for the past 4 months, and there's fairly, detailed statements from each constituency, and there's a summary that the committee has put together to summarise that. And it seems that we are still playing around with some of the wording of that summary. And I think, you know, there's been some pretty recent changes in the last sort of 24 hours. I don't think it's appropriate to approve that final summary until everyone's had a chance to have a look at those changes, you know, maybe suggest some final changes. So what I would propose from a process point of view is that this meeting we pass a resolution on the basic conclusion, and at least we've agreed on the conclusion. And secondly, we get the chair of the committee to incorporate the comments that have been received in the last 24 hours. And I must admit, if I wear my registrar's hat, I'd probably perhaps provide a couple of more that might separate perhaps overall objectives from specific criteria. But we perhaps have another go at that before approving that report, or that summary, if you like, to send to the board. So I'm suggesting a two-stage process. The first stage, which I think we can complete at this meeting, is to approve to pass a resolution regarding the conclusion. And the second part, I think we need to do some further refinement of the committee's report. You know, pass it around the list, maybe another iteration or two, and perhaps we finalise that and ratify that at the meeting in Montreal. So that's what I propose as chair, and again, I'd like to perhaps open that course of action for comment.
Yeah, this is Jordan. I can speak to that.
Yep, go ahead, Jordan.
Okay, sure. I think that's very much in line with the type of approach that I've been pushing for, and I think that it will allow us to make sure that we put together a statement summarizing the work of the committee, so that it won't be lost and can be taken into account by a future policy development process or by the board. So I think that's an excellent proposal.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to that suggestion?
Just a question, Bruce. What are you proposing to go into the report that we vote on today?
What I'm proposing is, all we're voting on is that initial resolution that Philip actually presented at the very beginning, which is that we, and I'll get Philip to restate that, but that we pass a resolution that the council supports the bottom-up, demand-driven namespace as opposed to developing a taxonomy of names. And secondly, that the council recommends that the board initiate a policy development process to develop the objective criteria that would be used in that process. That's really the resolution. And then secondly, I'm saying, before we then pass on the report that the committee has developed, that we allow some further refinement of the wording of that report and ratify that report separately in our meeting in June.
Okay, that sounds good to me. If in fact the substance of the report is what you just said, and loses the ruminations about the meaning of the word structure and the references to anarchy and that kind of stuff.
Well, but I think that's what you need to decide in June. I'm saying separate the two decisions. The first decision is just the succinct council recommendation on the, you know, the final result, which are the 2 points I've put forward. And then in our June meeting, we agree to the text in the report.
Bruce, Tony, can I join the queue?
Yes, go ahead, Tony.
Thanks. just to make the point, I don't think the first decision can be dependent upon the final results of the work we've got to do by June. I think we need to separate those things. I don't have a problem with going ahead on that basis, but the issue of what will be in the final report has to be subject to the ongoing work and the ratification in June. I don't think we're in any position to make any assumptions now.
That, I agree with that, Tony, yes.
So, Bruce, is
anyone else like to join the queue?
It's Marilyn.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Let me just see if I understand the process, because I think I can support it. We are in agreement that we're going to separate the document into categories, and we are going to see a new draft, and the direction to the chair and the committee of council members that are working with the chair is to be sure that the text incorporates and represents the input that has been received most recently. And we would...
That's correct.
We would
again, I'm trying to separate... this is my understanding, Marilyn, just from what I'm hearing, but I'm getting a feeling that there's agreement on the conclusion, and I think we should formalise that by passing a resolution to say we agree on this conclusion. What I'm not finding is there's agreement on the exact words that are in the, particularly the summary, which is at the beginning of Philip's report. Then following the summary, Philip has attached the individual constituency statement. So there's no argument about the individual constituency statements. They go in as is. But there seems to be some debate about the exact wording of the summary, and I don't think the council at this meeting is in a position to agree to that.
But I'm not clear on, are you proposing that we would have a resolution which has only a single paragraph in it today and approve that today and then have the second stage of work go on, but with that conclusion already previously approved?
That's what I'm proposing, yes.
Bruce, do we already think of this resolution? And can you, if yes, can you or Philip state the wording of this resolution today?
I will get Philip to restate the wording, but I'm really talking about a process thing here, firstly, that we agree on.
Yeah, but Bruce, it's Marilyn again. I think that it's difficult for me to give you my decision on whether I support the process until I understand what the language of the recommendation of the conclusion would be.
Philip, to comment.
Okay. Yes, go ahead, Philip.
Perhaps a question for Louis. Louis, we're talking now about a delay of 1 month from the original timetable that we had suggested to the board, and the board said it was okay. In terms of the value to the board, is there any timing necessity to for council to make a statement now and then give them a report with greater detail in June, or would it be more satisfactory to do the whole thing in one go in June?
I don't think there's any particular advantage to the process of moving forward generally on new TLDs to provide a summary answer now to be explained later versus providing the whole answer in June. I would certainly, based on what I've heard in this call, be reporting to the board that there's some divergence in council views really about the nuances of the question, and indeed I've heard some council members on this call say that they don't agree that the question was clear.
Okay, I mean, thank you for that answer. I mean, Bruce, in view of that, I mean, my suggestion would be, you know, it's good that in the last 48 hours we've had comment coming in on the report. It's regrettable we didn't have that 14 days ago when the committee asked for it. But in view of that, I would think it's sensible to simply delay both the resolution and the report until the June meeting, and we ask for any additional comments, say, within the next 7 days, at which point I would then incorporate all those in the discussion we've had, in particular this concept of the categorization, the difference between objectives for the namespace and criteria for putative registries, and incorporate that into a new version then for 3 weeks discussion before June. That seems to be perhaps the best way forward.
Tony, Bruce, can I join the queue, please?
Yeah, and then Jordan, please.
Thomas would also.
Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Well, having heard Louis' remarks and some of the comments made, I support Philip's proposal. I think it's going to be very difficult to actually agree on any wording for a resolution now that's going to be truly reflective of the divergent views, and for the sake of moving forward, I think that offers the best approach, so I would support that.
Okay, Jordan?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little baffled as to what the divergent views are on this core question. I think we've had consensus for a long time on the first paragraph of the recommendations, and I think that we're perfectly capable of getting to, I think, unanimity on that statement as being reflective of the council's views as well as the views of the committee as a whole. And I would certainly be in favor of moving forward with Bruce's original motion, and that will give us some time to put together an objective summary of the rest of the dialogue. But that the rest of that document is simply a summary of dialogue we've had and is not perhaps an input to a future policy development process, but is not reflective of a consensus viewpoint of the council in any way.
Well, I think that the important thing, Jordan, is that the summary is not creating policy. And what I had hoped to achieve was separating the straight advice to the board, which I was considering to be the first paragraph, if you like, that we were discussing, and that the other document is input into the policy development process in the future. And it represents examples of the issues that are being considered, but it's not policy.
Yeah, no, I agree exactly with that. It's basically a statement that summarizes some interesting conversations that we've had, but is not a policy position of the council.
Philip, to comment.
Okay, Thomas?
Well, I think Jordan basically has said all I wanted to say, the main point being that, in a way, material, which is input for future policy development choices, shouldn't be immediately necessary for the board in order to understand the council's answer to this question. If you take the argument to the extreme by saying that the criteria discussion should form part of the answer the council gives to the board, then the entire advice could only be given after a full policy development process, and I don't think that would be productive, so I would probably board the original process proposals you have made.
So. Right. Okay, so we have divergence of opinion here.
Philip, to comment?
Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Okay, thanks. Two things. I think we need to bear in mind, first of all, that when we sought original clarification from the board, they made it very clear that a minimal report was not what they wanted. They were looking to understand the thinking and to know where the discussion was. So the nature of the discussion that we've had, I think, is important to convey to the board as part of the answer to this question, for the whole exercise to be meaningful. I think the discomfort that we heard expressed by Tony and others is perhaps a little concern in terms of a process whereby we're saying, well, here's a statement that's also linked to something else that we haven't quite agreed on yet, and we're going to tell you about that later. It's a little difficult to commit yourself to something in the future that you know you haven't agreed to yet, and that seems to be what we're doing when there's no overarching timeline that says we need to do that now. So we appear to be giving partial, not necessarily useful information to the board. And I think it's difficult, although we have, you know, there are parts of the report and that conclusion one of two conclusions, which we hope there was agreement on, but it's not a statement that purely exists in isolation. It needs to be put in context. We can all agree that man should be free and unconstrained in this world, you know, liberty is an important thing. Oh, does that mean he can commit murder? Oh, no, there are conditions here. So I think, you know, it's difficult just to take one thing in isolation and not put it in context. And the context is what the report was trying to do. I'm a little concerned about statements that seem to be suggesting that everything else in the report, everything that the council members themselves have discussed and proposed, are just potentially interesting ideas with nothing more than tea room chatter status. The whole point about putting some of these things down and then not being challenged over the last 6 months in terms of do I believe them or not, is that they are things that were consensus agreement. The statement, future expansion should avoid names and confusingly similar so as to avoid confusing net users, appears to be picked up in the majority of the consistency reports. So there seems to be indeed consensus items on those, and I think where that consensus exists, it's useful to have that stated, because that has been the part of the process. So if there is still disagreement or lack of clarity on those items, then I believe that I as draftsman need to improve on that clarity, and I'd be happy to do that. But I don't see it's going to be helpful in giving an amorphous semi-conditional answer to the board a month early when they don't particularly need it and they can't do anything with it.
Bruce? Okay, well, can I hear that?
That was Louis.
Louis, yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to respond to Jordan to try to explain the point he said he was baffled on. Jordan, I was not suggesting that there was a divergence of opinion on the council about the particular sentence that you were describing. I was suggesting there is a divergence that I hear, at least, as to whether people are satisfied that that statement alone is a complete and fair answer from their perspective to the question that was posed.
Okay, fairly understood, Louis. Thank you.
Look, so I think what we're hearing then is there's no urgency to complete a resolution in this particular meeting. My impression is that there is fairly clear consensus on what I think is the straight answer to the question. But I also take on board what Philip has said, in that there is a lot of value in the discussions that have been held in the last 3 or 4 months, and that needs to be captured. And I think there is, you know, certainly from my personal, was perhaps personal and as a registrar's point of view, I think the wording can be improved, and I think Milton has made similar comments about the wording in the summary report. So I think there is some iterations that can go on there. So look, I would propose at this stage that we delay voting on this until the meeting in June. But I'm, you know, if someone wants to propose a particular motion at this stage, they can. But my advice then, following the discussions, is that we minute these discussions. We do some, refinements of the wording in Philip's report. In the committee's report, ready for the council meeting in June. I don't want it to go on too much longer, so I think in the June meeting, the motion will just be put, and we won't sort of go any further than that. So we'll vote on it as is in whatever form it's in the June meeting. Perhaps have a seconder for that course of action. Would someone like to second that as a course of action?
Well, let me do so, Philip.
Bruce, I would like to just raise a question about that. I think we're still...
Sure, yes.
This is Milton. I think we're still getting confused about the distinction between answering the board's question and the policy development process. I can see value in spending another month on the broader aspects of the report, which are preparing for a policy development process. I think in terms of the what you call the straight answer to the board's questions, I think we're ready to deliver those. And my experience with this council, and indeed any kind of committee, is that if you're ready to finish something, take the opportunity to finish it, because you may never finish it otherwise, or you may never finish it in a timely fashion. Other things will arise, and I would just like to see us get that part of it off the desk, and then we can talk about the more complicated wording issues that involve the preparation for the PDP as we head into Montreal.
Yeah, let me, this is Jordan.
Okay.
Can I make one brief comment too?
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think, you know, if the reason why we need another month is to gain better clarity on whether people think that there is a, you know, what the nature of the board's question was and what the nature of our response should be, I think people have their opinions at this phase, and they're unlikely to change over the course of the next month. So voting on, you know, like Milton said, the straight answer seems quite reasonable at this time. But I guess I don't have a problem with spending another month trying to, you know, put together a reasonable statement that will be helpful in guiding the board. But I don't think we're going to get any closer to consensus about what the core consensus-based answer or Names Council policy answer to the board ought to be, because I think there is a legitimate difference of opinion that is strongly held on by both sides.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. I think I heard you ask for a second.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a matter of sort of, we need to make a decision procedurally, really, at this point, whether we decide to delay this until June, or that we decide to vote on the first part of it now. So I guess I'm presenting a procedural motion that we delay the two questions until June, and we can vote on that procedural motion.
Then let's call for the question.
Okay, so you were seconding that motion, were you, Marilyn?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll now put that that procedural question to the vote, and the procedural issue is that we delay voting on both the straight answer, so to use Milton's words, as well as the summary report on the possible criteria. So I'll now just call for votes. All those in favour of that procedural motion say aye.
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 Okay, all those against?
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, given that that sounds more complicated, I'll actually go and individually record the votes. So if I can just go through the names of the people on the call and to see how they vote. Kerry Carr.
Can you just point about it? Can you please very clearly state exactly what it is that we're voting on now? I mean, there might have been some...
Okay, we're voting on it.
What is the question to be answered,
this is,
yes or no?
Yes, this is a procedural motion, and the question is that we delay voting on this issue until the June meeting. Is that question clear? Okay. Kerry, how do you vote?
Can you please put me a little further down the list?
Oh, okay. Grant Forsyth?
I support the motion.
Okay. Ken Stubbs? Okay, Laurence?
I support the motion.
Marilyn?
Yes, I support the motion.
Milton?
I oppose the motion.
Jeff Newman?
I oppose.
Jordan?
I'm opposed.
Tom? Tom Keller.
I oppose.
Philip Shepherd.
In favour.
Ken Stubbs.
Opposed.
Opposed. Okay. Kerry Carr.
Opposed.
Okay. Bruce. Now, were there any proxies? Yes.
I support the motion. I support the motion.
Who's speaking?
This is Chun.
Yeah, so Chun, how do you vote?
Not yet.
This
I support the motion.
I favor the motion.
Sorry, I've got too many people speaking. Chun, are you for or against?
I support.
You support. Okay, you're for. Okay, and who was that person speaking just before?
Linda Wesch, and I support the motion also.
And Bruce, for the record, you...
Sorry, who was that question?
That was Jeff, sorry.
And your question was?
Oh, sorry, I didn't know if you voted...
I'll just wait until make sure I've got everyone else's vote. Now, Laurence, are you voting a proxy for Ellen?
Yes, and she so in favour of the motion as well.
I'm just adding up the votes here.
Bruce, I think you've missed some.
Yep. Sorry, keep going. Yeah. I must admit, I'm doing this from a hotel room, so I don't actually have a list of council members, so I'm just relying on the members to let them know.
I'm keeping track of them, yes. Tony Holmes?
Sorry, I support
Tony Holmes.
And in addition, Bruce, I believe Tony Harris is now on the call. I believe he joined late, and I just want to clarify, I think I heard Glenn say that he's carrying a proxy for Greg Ruth.
Yes,
are you there, Tony Harris?
For Gabrielle.
I'm here. Tony Harris votes in support of the motion.
And Tony has a proxy for another member, is that right?
For Gabrielle Pinero.
I thought Tony had the proxy for Greg Ruth.
I'm just checking. I'm sorry. I had some problems getting into the office today.
Do you know,
I don't have a proxy for Greg, actually.
Can you confirm, Glenn, what proxies Tony Harris holds?
I was told by Gabriel Pinero that he had given his proxy to Tony Harris.
Oh, okay, fine. Oh, yeah, okay, I see. I'm sorry, that's right.
So how do you vote for...
In favor.
Okay.
And for Greg Ruth too, Tony?
Yeah, he votes in favour.
Okay, so Tony is holding the proxy for Greg Ruth, is that correct, Glenn?
Yes.
Okay, my count, and before my voting, I think it's about 11-4 and 11 against. Given that the motion is so close, I'll vote my votes against, so that this motion has failed. Therefore, I will then move to put the original motion that I had discussed, which was to vote first on the conclusion of the GTLD committee first, and that we will finalise the summary of discussions in the June meeting. So if I can get Philip perhaps to restate what the conclusion of the, and the original motion that you had put forward at the beginning of the meeting on what the conclusion of the GTLD committee was.
Yep, I'll do that, Bruce. I think just before that, I'd like to make a sort of point of order as an individual, really, just to say that having just taken a vote of the council in which basically as to whether or not to vote on an issue, and knowing that half of the council didn't want to vote, I find it a little strange we are nevertheless proceeding with a vote on such a narrow point when it concerns the desire to vote rather than actually on an issue. However, that is your chair's ruling, and we will respect that. The wording of the resolution that we have is, in response to the question asked of it by the board, the GNSL Council concludes expansion of the GTLD namespace should be a bottom-up approach with names proposed by the interested parties to ICANN. Expansion should be demand-driven. Furthermore, there should be a set of objective criteria to be met in any future expansion. The development of this set of objective criteria should be the subject of a new policy development process. These ideas are expanded in a report, together with the responses of the GNSO constituencies and the ALAC, which will be forwarded to the board in June 2003.
May I ask a question? Is that actually in writing for us to see? Am I missing a written document?
Is that question to Philip, is it, Marilyn?
It would be a question to anyone.
It's not wording. It's been posted to the council. No. That was me just taking wording from the report and making it in the form of something that can be a resolution of the council.
I guess as chair, I think we need to be careful if we are creating motions out of thin air that do have implications because they're back to council. I think in this case, and I'm welcome to be corrected, that we are actually referring to a position that's actually in the report rather than something that is being created on the fly. Is that correct, Philip? This is not something new. This is actually consistent with your report.
I've extracted the wording from the report and and turned it into the wording that is appropriate for a resolution.
Bruce, I'd like to respond to that. I fully respect that. However, and I fully respect it's not created out of thin air. However, I think in respect of the council members and the fact that not all of our members, of course, are have English as their first language, perhaps we could have a typed version of it shared electronically with the council.
Sorry, Marilyn, I didn't hear that.
Perhaps we could have a written version of it shared electronically with council.
I'm personally not online, but if Philip wants to type a version of that and send it to the list, that's fine.
I can do that.
I think that given the fact that the previous vote was so close, that it would really be helpful for all of us to be more comfortable if we were looking at words.
That's fair, yeah.
I agree.
music of the keyboard.
That's right. Let me know when you've done that, Phil.
Thank you, Dirk.
One of the benefits of a physical ICANN meeting when you actually have those excellent people that transcribe what we talk about, and you can see it on the screen.
Okay, that has just been sent, so you can all now assess the quality of your connection to ISP. Depends on the time it takes for you to receive it.
Can you just read it out for us again, please, Philip?
I will. That will keep us all occupied. In response to the question asked of it by the board, the GNSO Council concludes. Expansion of the GTLD namespace should be a bottom-up approach, with names proposed by the interested parties to ICANN. Expansion should be demand-driven. Furthermore, there should be a set of objective criteria to be met in any future expansion. The development of this set of objective criteria should be the subject of a new policy development process. These ideas are expanded in a report, together with the responses of the GNSO constituencies and the At-Large Advisory Committee, which will be forwarded to the board in June 2003.
Okay. Are you comfortable that you've heard and seen the motion, Marilyn?
So I haven't seen it, but I appreciate having it read to me again, and I have transcribed it.
Must have a bad ISP.
Or Milton, contrary to my reputation, not spend my entire life online.
Okay. I'd like to put this motion now to a vote. First, I need a seconder for the motion.
I'll second that, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. Okay. And I'll again, and I'm, no doubt this will be a close motion, but I will again. What we're voting on is the conclusion of the GTLD committee's report, and that conclusion is, as Philip has stated, in response to the question asked of us by the ICANN board. So first, I ask Kerry to vote
in favour.
Jordan?
I'm in favour as well.
Jeff?
Yes, in favour.
Okay, Thomas?
Yes, I'm in favour.
Ken Stubbs?
In favour.
Laurence? Come back to Laurence. Is it Linda Roche from the Intellectual Property?
Yes, I'm in favor of it.
Laurence? Okay, it's still not there. Milton from the non-commercial users.
In favour.
Chun from the non-commercial users.
In favour.
Sorry, what was that, Chun?
Favour.
Thank you, Chun. And I guess in regards to Gabrielle from the non-commercial, Tony Harris, if you could vote for Gabrielle.
Yes.
Okay, for Gabrielle. Tony Harris for the ISPs.
In favour.
Tony Holmes from the ISPs.
In favour.
Now, does someone, does Tony Harris also hold Greg Ruth's proxy? I think that's correct. Tony, how do you vote Greg Ruth's proxy?
In favour.
Thank you. Business constituency, Marilyn Kane. Yep. Bear in mind, I'm doing this from the top of my head.
In favour.
Thank you, Marilyn. Philip Shepherd.
In favour.
Grant Forsyth.
Grant Forsyth, in favour. There you go, Brian.
Thank you. Okay, Laurence from the intellectual property.
I'm in favour. And Ellen.
And for Ellen?
Yeah, in favour.
Okay, and I'll vote my votes in favour, which I believe makes that unanimous. Then, finally, as a procedural vote, if we, from a procedural motion point of view, request the GTLD committee to complete its summary of the discussions and of the issues relating to the objective criteria to be complete for finalisation at the June meeting, as a procedural motion, if I have a seconder for that.
Can I make a friendly amendment to suggest
yes, sure,
that we should have a comment period perhaps of 7 days from now, after which I would circulate a draft, so to give other people the chance to make final comments if they haven't done so, with a view for that draft then being the paper that goes forward to June.
Carrie, to speak, please.
Go ahead, Carrie.
There's been some criticism about this action because of the lack of a public commentary period. Are we going to pay any credence to that, some criticism, or do we proceed as we otherwise would have?
Can I
think the issue, Carrie, is we've got a, if I can just comment, we're not passing policy in this report. This is a summary of the discussion and possible criteria, but it's not actually created as policy until we actually form the policy development process that was agreed to in the previous motion.
Might
and that policy development process would include.
Might it be worth our while
sorry,
to make a statement to that effect publicly?
I'm sorry, Bruce, can I, I'm having trouble hearing Carrie, and I, can we ask, can I ask Carrie to repeat what he said?
Oh, I was just wondering if, for no other reasons than public relations, we want, might want to make a public statement on one of the forums that is criticizing us for not allowing them to comment about what Bruce just said.
Could I get into the queue, please?
I'll
go Marilyn and then Thomas.
I think I might actually like to ask the general counsel to give counsel some advice on the variety of processes that we engage in and when we should be undertaking public comment. I think we probably could benefit from that.
Let me give a brief answer, if I might, Bruce.
Go ahead, Larry.
Okay. Marilyn and other council members, there are a variety of different kinds of actions the council takes, ranging in degrees of formality. When you're talking about the policy development process, there's a very well-defined comment mechanism. That is not what the board's question about structure and if so how
sought to invoke or to, it did not seek, as I understand it, to get the council to actually develop any particular policy. It was asking for what might be characterized as an early sentiment of the council on the question. The council is nonetheless, of course, free to ask for public comment on any matter that comes before it at any time. There would be, in view of the council's vote, that there ought to be a policy development process regarding the criteria, etc. There would be, of course, public comment in that process. The only other thing I would say is that it would strike me as a little bit strange for the council to have voted on a summary answer to the question saying it's going to give an explanation later and allow the public to comment only on the explanation and not on the answer.
I must admit I tend to agree with that as a process, Louis. I think just to clarify, what we're doing is finalizing the summary that Philip has created from the discussions over the past 3 or 4 months. A lot of that summary, I think, is about, I guess, particularly in the English language, subtle use of wording. And I think that's something that can be done within the council before the June meeting. But that if we go back to what our original motion was that we just passed unanimously, and that is a recommendation that a policy development process, which, as Louis points out, includes full public comment in the actual formulation and approval of objective criteria. So is that clear to you, Carrie? Okay, so again, I'll put the procedural motion, Yes?
I think I wasn't the queue, I just saw a brief remark to...
You may well have been. I've probably forgot. It's getting late at night for me.
I just wanted to make a brief remark on Carrie's concern about public relations. As one of the people who have been raising concerns about public comment in the past, you can take me on the record that I don't believe that preparing a summary of discussions as input for a policy development process requires public comment, because this the summary will certainly go into what's called the initial report, what's called the issues report in the new policy development process, and that report will be up for comment for 3 weeks. So I don't think the council will have any public relations problem with this thing.
Thank you for that input, Thomas. Again, I've proposed a procedural motion. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
Yes, Philip.
Thank you, Philip. I'll now put that motion. All those in favour say aye.
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 Any against? Any abstentions? Okay, that motion is now passed. Okay, thank you for completing item 5 on the agenda. The next item, and I think this is important that we do deal with this in this meeting, is regarding the privacy report. And if Louis, and I know, Louis, you agreed to stay on for 1 hour, I'm not sure what your availability is at this point.
It would be useful perhaps if you...
Okay, it would be useful perhaps... Sorry, Marilyn?
And I only have about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Not because Marilyn and I are doing the same thing.
Okay. I think my summary, I guess, of the staff manager's report is it's a list of the issues that need to be considered, and then it has proposed some courses of action. Perhaps, Louis, if you could just summarise the courses of action that you've suggested in that report.
Yes, I'd be
happy. In other words, the last couple of paragraphs.
I'd be happy to, and they are in the last couple of paragraphs, as you've noted. It basically recommends 5 thing, that the GNSO Council form a steering group with representation by all constituencies to have a clearly defined charter and basically to develop a work plan for the many different facets of privacy considerations that are raised by who is. The conclusion of the report, just by way of explanation, is that there are, in fact, many different issues that have been raised that are of interest to different constituencies. There are differences in a divergence of views, or maybe just a divergence of knowledge about the underlying facts about how WHOIS is used, how it is abused, how those things affect privacy, and that in order to form a reasonable foundation for a policy development process that has a good prospect of achieving consensus, it would be important as an initial stage for the various people discussing the issue to have available to them the same factual information, so that a major initial focus of the group should be to do fact-finding and issue definition rather than immediately jumping to the prospect of coming up with a series of solutions that aren't based on a shared understanding about the basis. It also asks that it proposes that the GNSO Council join with the GAC working group in requesting there be a workshop at Montreal with that focus. It suggests that the privacy working group of the GNSO should provide its work plan by a specified date, suggests that perhaps the 1st of August would be appropriate, well in advance of the Carthage meeting, and that that steering group should identify approximately 5 issues that would then be launched into with some priority that would be launched into policy development processes according to the documented process there in a as the council sees fit and in line with whatever capacity the GNSO has to actually tackle these questions. So that's basically the set of suggestions that's proposed in the staff issues report.
Thank you, Louis. I guess my summary of that is that the main issues is one is forming a steering group to effectively develop terms of reference for one or more task forces to deal with the major issues. Secondly is creating a forum for discussing the facts associated with who is and requesting the president to organise that forum or workshop at the ICANN Montreal meeting. Yes, go ahead, Marilyn.
I just want to add a fact that people may be aware of, but I think it would be just helpful to mention, and I may have to pop off, so I apologize for doing it now. The GAC has a working group, and the GAC is intent on having a workshop in Montreal, and I just wanted to lend my support for the recommendation in the issues report from Council, which notes that the workshop planned jointly so that it's consistent, and these are my words, so that it's consistent with the bottom-up approach that we take at ICANN rather than having, sort of two separate functions that are going on. And I just wanted to mention that since I'm not sure everyone is aware of the work of the GAC on that.
Yes, I think it is important, and we would certainly ask the President to coordinate with the GAC to ensure that that workshop or forum at the Montreal meeting is a joint forum that involves the constituencies within the GNSO as well as the GAC working group. What I would like to do, I think, is to deal with these issues one by one, and perhaps the easiest issue is the one of requesting the president of ICANN to organise a workshop for the Montreal meeting, and that workshop to incorporate the constituencies of the GNSO as well as the GAC and other groups. So perhaps if I can propose that first as a motion, and see if I have a seconder for that motion.
Bruce, may I interject here for a moment? It's Audrey from the GAC.
Yes, thank you, Audrey.
So the GAC is the GAC would be very receptive to that. The GAC is going forward right now. We're putting plans together to hold a Who Is workshop. The GAC is a Who Is working group, and we're putting plans together to hold a Who Is workshop. And we'd be very receptive to ICANN holding a workshop as well. And if the GNSO were to propose to ICANN to hold a Who Is workshop, the GAC would like to be incorporated into the whole thing, so we could work together on it, basically.
Bruce, I have a question.
Yes, Jeff, go ahead.
This is to Audrey. Audrey, the workshop that the GAC is setting that up, is that open to the public? Is that what kind of workshop is that?
We're planning for it to be open to the public. I mean, the agenda is still under discussion, but we're right now looking at about a half day, a keynote speech of about 10 minutes and two panelists, open to the public. By public, meaning all ICANN constituents, meeting attendees, which is effectively any member of the public.
Yeah, and I think the context that I had discussed with the ICANN president was that it may be something that's organised as a whole day activity, and so that there would be time to incorporate, I guess, both the program considered by the GAC as well as the incorporating input from the GNSO constituencies, and just so that we don't duplicate the effort, really.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, any other questions on that?
Bruce, I'd like to second your motion. It sounds like an important thing to do would be to get a decision made quickly so that the president could begin outreach.
That's correct, yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. I'll put that motion then. All those in favour say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any against? Any abstentions? Okay, we'll pass that motion. The second major point here is the concept of...
One question
if we follow
on that.
Bruce,
just one clarification on that. So the motion is that the GNSO will ask the ICANN president to hold the workshop, or the GNSO will tell the ICANN president the GNSO would like to hold the workshop?
No, we will ask the ICANN president to organise the workshop.
Thank you.
And what I'm expecting is that there will be a program committee that will consist of probably some representatives from the GNSO Council and representatives from the GAC to develop the program. And I'll leave that to the ICANN president to actually initiate that process.
Great, thank you.
The next issue... And just to put it in the context, in our policy development process, we normally have a process where we develop an issues report. From that issues report, we can elect to form a task force, and the terms of reference of that task force would normally be determined at that time. And then the task force then develops some policy recommendations for the council to consider. Where we are at the moment is rather than having a condensed set of issues, we actually in fact have an exhausted list of issues, and that as an issues report is not something that you could directly put in my opinion into a task force process at this stage. It would be very similar to the process we ended up with Who Is a couple of years ago, when we basically asked the Who Is committee to look at what the issues were, and that was about as much guidance that was provided. So what I would prefer that we do is do a step between that, which is to take these issues that have been listed in this report from the ICANN staff, identify perhaps groupings of those issues that could be developed further into it within a task force, and develop the terms of reference of that task force. This in the ICANN staff report is suggesting that we form a steering group, and that steering group have representatives from the constituencies, and that potentially we could choose to have the steering group chaired by a person independent of any constituency, which I think is probably wise for the purpose of identifying and clarifying, or perhaps identifying and condensing the issues, I think is perhaps the key deliverable here. Now, my concern is that we don't want to just form a steering group and not have any deliverables or timelines for that steering group. The policy development process does have a fairly tight set of timelines, and we shouldn't try and create some new process that has much longer timelines. So what I would propose is that we agree at this meeting that we will form a steering group to take this issues report, take the outcomes of the workshop in the Montreal ICANN meeting, and to develop a set of terms of reference for one or more task forces on the critical issues, and to make some recommendations to the council. I would like to, suggest a timeline that the meeting following the June meeting, we would expect that steering group to provide a report to council, perhaps as a draft, as a set of potential issues for consideration by task forces, and perhaps finalise that by the meeting following that, which would be another 30 days beyond that. So in 60 days following the ICANN meeting in Montreal, we would have a clear set of task forces, one or more, and a clear set of terms of reference to take these issues and this issues report forward. So I guess I invite comment on that as a process.
Thomas here, could I get on the queue, please?
Yes, Thomas, you're in the queue. Anyone else? Okay,
apologies. Just a brief remark. First of all, the process sounds very reasonable to me, and I'd just like to state on behalf of the ALIC that we'd be highly interested to participate and contribute to the steering committee with the Genesis Council's permission.
Okay, I think certainly we would request a member of the ALIC to be a member of that steering group. Any other comments on that as a course of action? Yes, who's that speaking?
That's Milton. I just want to ask, do we need to convey to the president our desire to be involved in some way in the programming of this event in Montreal?
That's probably a separate issue to this particular question, but yes, I believe that was incorporated in the previous motion.
Okay, I think.
But certainly, I will take that as an action that I will ask the president to involve the GNSA Council in the development of the program.
Will there be some kind of an never mind.
Bruce, it's Laurence. Is it too much to ask you to repeat again the objectives of the steering group and what must be achieved before and after the Montreal meeting?
Bruce, are you still with us?
Bruce, can you hear me?
Sounds like he got knocked off.
Fell asleep. I think he just fell over.
Perhaps somebody else can answer the question in the meantime.
This is Louis. Laurence, the staff report in item one at the end, and I don't know whether you have net access or not.
The problem is that I don't have internet access for the moment. It's why
right. Well, it recites four things that are objectives of the group. Acquiring relevant, reliable information concerning the circumstances related to uses and misuses of WHOIS, first one. Second one is better defining the privacy-related issues arising from WHOIS and better understanding their interrelationships. Third one is identifying with groups outside the GNSO, including groups that are now working on or plan to work on WHOIS privacy issues that, actually there's a typo, that can assist. So identifying groups outside the GNSO that can assist in the work and consulting with them on ways in which they might assist in the GNSO's policy development work. And the fourth one is presenting to the GNSO Council a recommended work plan for its activities in developing policy recommendations on WHOIS privacy issues. On that last one, the schedule that Bruce proposed, I believe, said that you had two 30-day periods built into it, which I won't repeat.
Okay, so Louis, in answer to the question in terms of necessary work before and after Montreal, in fact, the two concepts aren't particularly linked. We have a steering committee doing this information gathering exercise. We have an event in Montreal which is going to contribute to information as well, but the two aren't necessarily linked. They're two separate processes, one of which will have a longer life.
They aren't necessarily linked, although the first item in terms of reference is acquiring relevant, reliable information concerning the circumstances related to the uses and misuses of WHOIS, which would be a focus of the one of the focuses of the workshop.
Right. So exactly, the workshop is one element in that broader task of the steering group. Yeah.
But the objective is to gather information. Do I understand it well?
It's first to gather information, including both factual information and an understanding of what the issues are that people in the community think are out there.
Okay, it's not to rush and try to create a policy recommendations or whatever.
The overall task is to help the GNSO Council decide exactly what about WHOIS privacy should be worked on.
Okay.
I think Bruce put it into the words of developing terms of reference for future task forces.
Mm. Bruce? I think we need a chair. I guess the protocol is, Philip, are you on?
I am indeed, yeah. Okay.
You're the chair, I think.
Thank you very much. Are we clear on that second motion then that Bruce was trying to make in terms of the recommendations that came out of the issue management report on privacy? It's essentially setting up this steering committee, which we've just been steering group, which we've been talking about. I'm going to propose we have a vote on that to go forward with that recommendation in the report. Any questions before we go forward on that vote?
No, Jordan, but I'll second that motion.
Thank you very much.
Call for the question.
Then let's call for the question. Those in favour of setting up such a steering committee, please say aye.
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 All right.
Those against, please say no. Those abstaining, please say abstain. Excellent. I believe that was unanimous. Thank you very much. Now, somebody who's been following this issue closer than I needs to tell me if we have any other items under that same item 6. Bruce had very cleverly made some suggesting partitions. I'm not aware of any further work that needs to be done. That's Louis, you can comment on that.
Just looking quickly, and I'm working in real time here, I think Bruce probably covered the items that are absolutely essential to move the process forward at this meeting. Unless someone has a different view about that.
I've got a technical question. If I recall this correctly from Thomas here, if I recall this correctly from Rio, we are at this point in a formal policy development process. So I would wonder what will happen to that one, because obviously no task force is set up and the process is not being followed. I'm not criticizing this. I'm just observing it, and I'm wondering if any further resolution on the council.
Thomas, I think on that, item 3 of the policy development process speaks to council action and council initiation, and a substantive policy development process has not been initiated.
Does anybody have the minutes from Rio at hand?
No,
maybe you can go ahead with other things.
Okay, I think that's exactly right. You can take that particular query offline. Yeah, indeed, just a clarification. Okay, and for ending item 6, I'm aware of time with this call and the rest of the agenda. Now, just having looked through that, there's only one item that Bruce has scheduled to suggest a resolution, a motion, the rest most information items. I suggest we take that one item requiring a vote and we then end the call taking those further information items either by email or at the next meeting. Everybody happy with that idea?
It's Ken Stubbs, Philip. I'm concerned about the fact that I don't think we're going to have adequate time to really discuss that issue at this point in time. You're talking about item number 7, aren't you?
Item number 7, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to find out how many people are still on the call, first of all, because I just feel that if we can't get a good discussion going on it, the world is not going to end if we end up tabling that till we, in the American sense, that to our next meeting. That's my principal concern.
Okay, let's just have a quick check to see how many we have on the call. Marilyn, you still with us?
See, it was her proposal as well, if I recall. So
Grant, are you with us?
We can't act on quorum. We don't have a quorum, huh?
That's what I was checking. Grant, we're still there. Okay, Linda?
Yes, I'm here.
Laurence?
I'm here, but I need to leave the call in 5 minutes.
Okay, well, then let's give up.
It just makes sense to me. It's going to have the debate's going to be a lot more credible, and regardless of the outcome on something like that, it's going to have a lot more credibility.
I have to leave the call also, Tony Harris.
Okay. Then what I will do is propose indeed items 7 through 12 are deferred until the next meeting or taken by email in
Can
between.
I move for adjournment?
If that is possible. You may indeed move from German. That's precisely what I'm proposing. So thank you all very much. Glenn, perhaps you can make contact with Bruce and let him know what's happened.
This is Audrey Bukwadla from the GAC. I have one quick interjection.
Aubrey, yes, quickly.
Two things. One, I need to talk to Tony Harris offline if he's still on the call. And two, I have a message to Jordan Buchanan from Gema Campillos at the GAC. Is Jordan Buchanan still online?
I am indeed.
Hi, Jordan.
Good morning. Goodbye.
Hi, Tony Harris is here, too.
Hi, Tony. I'll talk to you in one moment, too, please.
You have my number and everything?
I don't have your number. I could ask you, if you give it to me, I could just call you.
Okay, 5411.
5411.
4326.
4326.
0777.
Great. Tony, I will give you a call in about 10 minutes.
No problem.
Okay.
Thank you. Jordan?
I think you want a one-to-one conversation with Jordan. We're going to let you do that in a second. I'm just saying to everybody else, as we're hearing the noises, indeed this council meeting is over. I'm going to put the phone down. I'll leave you to do that. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Philip.
Jordan?
Yeah?
Gema Campillos is the convener of the GAC GTLD working group.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent an email, which I understand you responded to. Gema is still a bit unclear as to, and I think she sent you a follow-up email. Did you get the follow-up email?
Let me look, and I don't believe I've seen a follow-up. Every once in a while, things go into my junk mail filter. It's not supposed to go into my junk mail filter, so it's possible that's where it ended up. Let me take a quick look.
Okay.
Yeah, but it might be best to get the follow-up resent. I don't think I don't see it right now.
Okay, would you be able to send Gema the email? Or?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
Okay, and you have her email address?
Let me double check. Why don't you give it to me just in case?
It's a Gema. G is in George.
Right.
Gema. Period. Campillos. Campillos.
Uh huh.
At SETSI.
Okay.
Period MCYT.
Okay.
Period ES.
Okay.
And you could just told her that you and I spoke and you understand she has a follow-up question.
Yep, will do. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye-bye.